The Roundtable Podcast is brought to you by Burke Financial, offering homeowners personalized mortgage solutions. For one-hour approvals and fast funding, visit burkefinancial.ca. Brokerage license 13111. Time to feel the rush of the Roundtable, live on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Ryan Doyle and guest co-host Tamara Cherry this afternoon. The Roundtable brought to you by Burke Financial, offering homeowners personalized mortgage solutions for approvals in as little as 1 hour and fast funding. Visit burkefinancial.ca. Brokerage license number 13111. It is time for the Roundtable. Selena Caesar-Chavan joins us, former Liberal MP, senior advisor at Queen's University, and author. Nice to have you.
Thank you for having me again.
And Chris Chapin, partner at Upstream Strategy, slightly shorter title, but you know, he's big in stature, which counts. Nice to have you, sir.
Nice to be back.
Let's start off. You know, I made a rather throwaway comment yesterday about the Prime Minister saying I didn't feel it was appropriate for him to be having his picture taken while visiting the graves of students, former students of residential schools in Saskatchewan. It wasn't just one picture. It was multiple pictures. It was him with the teddy bear. It was the teddy bear by itself. It was him on one knee genuflecting. Selena, I think it is appropriate for a prime minister to go and pay respects at a gravesite like this. I think it crosses a line and becomes quite inappropriate, downright distasteful, when a prime minister then decides to have a photographer there, take all of the pictures, and then put those pictures out on social media.
Yeah, and I absolutely agree. And I have to say, I've seen this prime minister, and people know that I'm biased, but I'm going to be quite frank here. I've seen this prime minister take a knee at a Black Lives Matter rally and lift his fist, make sure that he had pictures and posted them to social media. I'm seeing them again here with the teddy bear and the multiple pictures that he's posted to social media. This is a prime minister that right now, instead of actually acting when he takes a knee or stands up after taking a knee, doesn't do what is necessary to help the lives of these individuals who are impacted by his actions. And, you know, right now there's a class action lawsuit against the prime minister from former Black federal employees. 70% of them are women. 60% of them have not received promotions in decades of work. This is going to court. Indigenous children are still going to court under this prime minister. The cognitive dissonance required to take a picture like this is outstanding. Unfortunately, when it comes to Trudeau, he lacks the self-awareness to know that, to know this and to know that it is inappropriate and that he should act rather than post more pictures. He's moved from selfies to performative nonsense. And I also agree, it's disgusting.
Yeah, to be fair, this wasn't a selfie, but Chris, it was his press secretary that put it out, which is why I think there's such a storm around it. I think it would have been a completely different situation, completely different reaction, if it was a member of the local community who had perhaps snapped a cell phone picture and tweeted it out. But to have his press secretary put it out and say that what we're looking at is all these flags where there should be headstones, but really we're looking at the prime minister with a teddy bear. It just, I don't know what this press secretary was thinking.
Well, I bet she was told to put it out, you know, by either him or somebody above her. Like, I can't put it any better than Selena, you know, said. She's got, you know, the firsthand experience way more than any of us do. But it's kind of what we've come to expect with this prime minister. You know, he's the selfie PM. And it's not the first time he's done something offensive or stupid, like, you know, the photo ops in India all dressed up when they, you know, their trade junket to India a couple of years back. So it's just, you know, after a while, it just becomes a pattern of behavior, and it's what he does. You know, some people really like it about him and find it authentic. I think others are finding it more and more cheesy every time it happens, though.
Yeah, I'd go as far as sickening, because I fully believe he's using the deaths of these people for his own political gain. I don't think there's any way around that whatsoever. And it's disgusting.
100%.
Yeah, speaking of a pattern of behavior, a judge in the Greater Toronto Area seemed to find a pattern of behavior, misbehavior, between a group of multimillionaire siblings, so much so that a multi-billion-dollar development empire that had been built by an Auschwitz survivor has been ordered sold because his four wealthy sons cannot get along. I mean, Chris, I don't know if you grew up with siblings. For me, I'm very close to my siblings. Ryan finds it hard to wrap his head around any siblings getting along, but is this a matter, do you think, of money getting in the way, or is this just classic sibling rivalry on the extreme scale?
I mean, it's probably both, Tamara. Like, I think, you know, I have an older and a younger brother, and we're certainly competitive with each other. But I can't imagine taking it to the extent that these four brothers did. And I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it's, you're talking billions of dollars of money on the line. So I'm sure that absolutely played, you know, a much greater factor into what happened. But it is, there's no question, there's always going to be that sibling rivalry between each other, whether it's friendly, competitive, or, you know, there's a lot of people out there, like, to Ryan's perspective, that can't stand their siblings. I certainly don't understand that, but it's definitely there.
Selena, it's interesting because I'm an only child, so I hear all of this and I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you people? Why would you ever want a brother or sister? We heard from a lot of people today that were basically saying, one guy said, you know, my brother lives down the street from me and we haven't talked in years. There's a big vendetta going on in the family. We kind of give each other looks from down the street. This is pretty wild stuff.
Yeah. So I have an older and younger brother, and most times I think that they're both idiots because I think that I have the greatest one out of them. I'm the only girl. But there is no way I will let my family legacy, or any of us will let our family legacy, die. Like, this is an Auschwitz survivor. He's like one of the richest families in Canada. And you're just going to let it just go away because you can't get along? I don't understand that behavior at all. I don't get it. I don't see what kind of rivalry will cause that.
Yeah, you know what? One of the most interesting parts about this story was right way at the bottom of Richard Warnicka's story in the Toronto Star. He refers to his Toronto Star story about this family that was printed back in 2012, in which the story said Sheldon Liebfeld, one of the brothers, knows his dad, who launched the conservatory group in 1960 and ran it with his four sons until he died in 2000, would be pleased with how the family business is being managed. And that the first line in that story was actually, "If Teddy could see them now." Implying right. that he would be so proud. Well, if Teddy could see them now in 2021, he might look at things a little bit differently.
A little bit differently. Steve Wozniak, one of the co-founders of Apple, had some really interesting words about the right to repair. The idea that corporations have way too much control over the devices or appliances that they sell to you, even after you take ownership of the product.
It's time to recognize the right to repair more fully. I believe that companies inhibit it because it gives the companies power, control, over everything. And I guess in a lot of people's minds, power over others equates to money and profits. Hey, is it your computer or is it some company's computer? Think about that. It's time to start doing the right things.
And Chris, even though he's got a weird way of overemphasizing certain words, Steve Wozniak's not wrong. Whose product am I buying here, and who does it belong to once it gets off the lot?
Yeah, I mean, I've always found this kind of a tricky issue because, I mean, you've got, you know, intellectual property rights on one side of the company that's developed this technology that you've bought versus your ownership on the flip side. So it's definitely a tricky one. At the end of the day, it's you know, the second you take ownership of something, it's yours. But that being said, it's not like that gives you the right to then just go out and recreate the product. And I mean, that's always why these companies have made it tougher and tougher to repair their stuff, because they want to keep their market edge as strong as they can. So it's definitely an interesting topic.
Yeah, Selena, I don't know if you're a dog owner, but when I think about taking a dog to a patio, me not being a dog owner, I think about taking my kids, and no part of me wants to be on a patio out with my friends with my kids. So is it different when it comes to a dog? Because there's a Toronto restaurant who is offering a dog menu. People can bring their dogs to the patio and you can feed yourself and you can feed your dog. And I love to picture dogs sitting there with a little menu. But is this something that you would be interested in?
So I do have a dog, and his name is Mr. Otis Bean.
Oh,
Otis
Bean. He's got two names.
And do you always refer to him as Mr. Otis Bean, or is it Otis Bean, just Otis, yes, or Mr. Bean?
Yeah, Mr. Bean, Odie Bean.
Oh, Mr. Bean.
We always use both names. And you know, he's a Maltese Yorkie, so he's a little guy, and he's a little yapper. And like you, I don't want to take my kids when I go to a restaurant, so I'm not actually sure I'll ever take the dog. I love my dog. I love eating out, but the two together are not happening at the same time.
All right. See, this is where I would part company with the two of you, because okay, you're right about the kids, but there's a place called the Black Lab Brewing Company. It's out on Eastern Avenue in Toronto. It's a phenomenal place. They allow dogs in the bar. Yeah. I thought it was crazy until I went in, and I didn't go with my dog Finnegan. I went in for a fundraiser at one point. And it was a great experience. The dogs were all well behaved. Everybody was enjoying themselves. They got little water bowls down there for everybody. Chris, I think this is the, I like this idea. You've got a dog?
Oh my God, are you kidding me? George W. The dog's been on probably four patios already this summer. He loves it. We take him to places. You know, he just sits under the chair, just hangs out with us. The idea of a restaurant that has a specific dog menu is a little much. You know, we'll just go and order him an extra plate of bacon, and he'll snack on a piece of bacon or two underneath the chair. But it all comes down to how well behaved your dog is. And our little guy will just sit there, and you know, occasionally he'll want to jump up on his mom's lap, but that's pretty rare.
It's not just any dog menu. This is human grade meals that will be offered up at the Lobster Burger Bar.
Imagine how much bacon George is eating.
Can you get a share? Is one of those platters for two, and you can split it with your dog?
like a seafood tower.
Yeah. Something like that. Selena, Mr. Bean, George W., Chris, thank you all. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
Bye, guys.
Have a great weekend. And, of course, thank you to all of you out there. The CTV News is coming your way at 6 o'clock. I would like to say thanks to Mike and to Tony. Tamara, thank you so much. We're going to do it all again one more time, as a matter of fact. A one day appearance, because Jay's away for
Destiny.
Apparently we're doing a musical. Jay's away for another day. I couldn't pick Les Mis out of an Andrew Weber police.
What if I wrapped it? Maybe
it might
then
be a little bit better. Then it would kind of have a crossover with Hamilton. But we will be back. That's the long way of saying it, on Monday's broadcast. So we're looking forward to that. We hope all of you have a fantastic weekend. And of course, if you're watching the soccer game on Sunday afternoon, the big game, the Euro Cup between Italy and between England and Italy, it's going to be fantastic. And of course, when Italy loses, just try to behave themselves. I'm kidding. I love y'all. It'll be a great game. Go England. Have a great night.
The Roundtable Podcast was brought to you by Burke Financial, offering homeowners personalized mortgage solutions. For 1-hour approvals and fast funding, visit burkefinancial.ca. Brokerage license 13111.